Well, welcome everyone to our night of prayer and worship. We're excited to meet with the Lord tonight and praise Him, lift His name up. It's starting to get cold out there, isn't it? Getting a little windy out there, and so it's nice to be in the house of God in a warm place. And tonight, I just want to encourage you as we begin to settle in. I don't know what happened in your day. I don't know if you went through some difficulties or you've experienced some great victories today. But I want you to just kind of take those things and kind of funnel them into our time with the Lord and just allow ourselves to just settle into the time that we're going to have tonight. I want to take us back to this past weekend for a second with Pastor Eric as he was teaching us through Nehemiah. And Nehemiah gets to this moment where he hears from some fellow colleagues out there from Jerusalem, and they've come back and they've said, man, the walls are broken down, the Jerusalem's in reproach, and the gates have been burned. And Nehemiah, remember this moment, he begins to weep and begins to be broken over the things that break the heart of God. And tonight, I want to encourage us to come into the house of God and just settle into the things that God wants us to settle into and just enjoy the worship that we bring to our Savior. And the way Nehemiah begins his prayer, it's so awesome. And he says, I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God. And then he goes on and he says, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments, please let your ear be attentive to us. And I just want to acknowledge what Nehemiah has done here. He's called out to the one that can change everything. Amen? He's calling out, and he's calling us, he's calling the nation of Israel as well as ourselves tonight to come in and worship the God that is the God of the impossible. He can make all things happen. And I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you've been through today, but I want you to just lay aside those things and let's begin to focus our eyes on the King. Focus our eyes on the one that can change anything at any time. The one that holds the world in his hands. He's sovereign and knows exactly what you've gone through today, and he knows exactly what you're going through this week. And he knows your heart. He knows your thoughts. And he loves you deeply. And so I want to encourage you to start to just begin to worship him. Begin to praise him. You know, Psalm 47 says this, clap your hands, all you people. There's this joy that comes from the crowd. Shout to God with a voice of triumph, for God is most high and he is awesome. And he is the great king over all the earth. We need to begin to rejoice and begin to praise him in light of that. So if you would, stand with me. And as we begin to, as we start out tonight, I want to just pray this in as we start worship tonight. And then I want you to join us as we go to the throne room of God tonight. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you. You are the God of gods. You're the Lord of lords. You are the awesome God that holds all things in your hands. And so, Lord, we come to you tonight, placing our lives in your hands, Lord, and asking you to move in a special way tonight in worship and praise. And Lord, as we lift your name up, would you receive the glory that you're due? Lord, would you receive the praise and the honor that you're due, and may you come and meet with us tonight, and may we experience your presence in this room. Lord, we love you. We long for a moment of intimacy and closeness with you, Lord. Though you are to be revered, you are our friend. And so, Lord, we thank you for the closeness that we can have in this moment. And so as we lift up your name, as we sing words of praise, may you receive this worship as an offering to you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship the Lord.
They will follow me. They will follow me. Surely your goodness and mercy, they will follow me every day. Oh, sing tonight. And there won't be a day that you're not by my side. There won't be a day that you let me fall. And in all of my life, your love will be true. And with all of my life, I will worship.
On the highest praise, You sent the darkness running out of an empty grave. Now seated alone in glory, enthroned on the highest praise. You sent the darkness running out of an empty grave. Now seated alone in glory, enthroned on the highest praise. And you sent the darkness running out of an empty grave. Now seated alone in glory, enthroned on the highest praise. You reign above it all, reign above it all. Over the universe and over every heart, there is no higher name. Jesus, you reign above it all. Let all of heaven and the earth erupt in song. Oh yeah, as we sing hallelujah to the everlasting one. There is no higher name. Jesus, you reign above it all. Oh yeah, oh you reign above it all. Yes, you reign above it all. God, you reign above it all. Amen. You reign above it all, you reign above it all. Over the universe and over every heart, there is no higher name. Jesus, you reign above it all. And let all of heaven and the earth erupt in song. As we sing hallelujah to the everlasting one, there is no higher name. Jesus, you reign above it all. Hallelujah.
You can go ahead and have a seat. As we were looking at Nehemiah chapter 1 this weekend, thanks so much for coming out and taking time to pray, to really seek the Lord as a church family. Thank you for joining us online. And as we look at the book of Nehemiah, he heard the news that the walls were broken down around Jerusalem and God's people were in distress. And the scriptures tell us that he grieved and he mourned over that brokenness. And I want us to move into a time of prayer where we grieve and we mourn over the brokenness in our lives, to allow the Holy Spirit to search us and to know us, where those walls of defense have been broken down, and to really start with our own souls and our own hearts and our own lives. Is there maybe an area of your life this evening that was once healthy, that was once strong, but has been broken down? And the God of the resurrection, the God of the restoration, he wants to come and rebuild those walls and to be broken before the Lord and to confess those sins before him. In Psalms 51, we see David confessing his sin to the Lord and praying to the Lord that God would restore him. And it's a beautiful prayer. David had been caught in adultery. He had been exposed in adultery. And this is his repentance before God. This is his brokenness before the Lord. So Psalms 51, verse 1, it says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgression." David pleads for God's mercy. Under the law, there was no sacrifice for adultery, no sacrifice for mercy or for murder. But he believed that God's mercy was greater than his sin. Do you believe that God's mercy is greater than your sins? That his tender mercy, his steadfast love, let's plead before the Lord for his mercy in our lives. It says, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. We have a Newfoundland, and she's about a year and a half old, and she got groomed today. Praise the Lord, right? Big, hairy dog, and she cannot clean herself. She's evidence that she can't clean herself. And guess what? You can't clean yourself. When it comes to your sin, you cannot wash yourself. And David understands that he needs God to wash him. We need God to wash us tonight. And he's ready and he's willing to cleanse us from our sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is always before me. Against you and you alone I've sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. David understands that his sin was before God. Yes, it was before Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, but ultimately it was before the Lord. And that's who we've sinned against. We've sinned against the Lord, and we want to acknowledge our sin. We want to confess our sin before the Lord, to agree with God, to not make excuses. We know the promise of the New Testament as we confess our sin, that he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Purge me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. David believed that God had the ability to wash him, to restore him, to make him whiter than snow. And he goes on and says, make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Do you need to hear joy and gladness? And God does break our bones in his loving correction for us, but it's for the purpose of bringing us back to him so that we can have joy and we can have gladness. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. And then I love this. This is our prayer tonight. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. And I will teach transgressors your way, and sinners shall be converted to you. God, would you create in me a clean heart? Do you need that tonight? Man, I need that tonight. We're going to enter into a time of communion right here in the middle of our service, and we've got plenty of time. We're going to just slow down this service, and we're going to seek the Lord, and we're going to come before him. And I'd encourage you, go there before the Lord. Pull out Psalms 51 and pray through it and say, God, would you wash me? Would you cleanse me? Would you create in me a clean heart? God, I don't have the ability to create in myself a clean heart. I've tried, but I don't have that power. But God, you have that power. And would you wash me and would you cleanse me of this sin that I bring before you? And God, would you restore unto me the joy of my salvation? Remember when you first received Christ as your Savior, how excited you were, right? I was geeked out of my mind that God would forgive my sins, that he loved me when I had such a hard heart towards the Lord. Think of the leper that was cleansed, the 10 lepers, and one leper comes back to the Lord in thanksgiving. How cool that would have been for him to experience God healing him from leprosy, to see his skin cleansed. Maybe he lost a finger because of leprosy, lost an ear because of leprosy. He's like, man, I've got my finger back, right? I've been healed, and for God to restore unto us the joy of our salvation. So as we come to the communion table, we remember. We remember what Christ has done for us, that his blood was shed, that his body was broken. How do we have confidence that we're forgiven? Because of the sacrifice of Christ. Those of you that are at home, I'd encourage you to get elements out of your fridge, get some juice, get some bread, and enter into communion with us. It's so important to not neglect communion, to remember that this is where forgiveness is provided. My greatest need is Christ's greatest deed. And then allow the Lord to search us. Allow the Lord to know us. Allow God to bring in this godly anguish, this godly brokenness, this sweet surrender before him, but then also allow the Lord to be the lifter of our heads As we take communion, we lift our heads. We look forward to his soon return. Allow your Father, through the love of Jesus, to lift you of your head tonight. Do you believe that God has a generous spirit? That's what David believed about God here. He said, create in me a clean heart. Do not cast me away. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. And David had the knowledge of God. He understood who God is, and God is generous. He's loving and kind. We have this amazing, loving Father who is generous, who's ready to restore, who's ready to rebuild the walls. Your life is the temple, and God wants to put that hedge of protection around you. One of the greatest ways that we're attacked is in our thoughts. Well, God doesn't love me. God doesn't have a future and hope for me. And we're told in the armor of God that we have the helmet of salvation. It's salvation that protects our minds. This battle, this downward spiral of our thoughts. You're saved, man. You're saved. You're the child of God. You're loved by God. And that helmet of salvation is your protection. So let's humble ourselves before the Lord. Let's be broken about our sin before the Lord. But then let's enter into his generous spirit. Let's enter into the joy of this, of our salvation. As we meet with the living God who is personal, we could walk out of here tonight with God creating a clean heart in us. God restoring us to us the joy of our salvation. Father, we do pray for that work to take place in our hearts and our lives. Help us to see our sin accurately, not for condemnation, but for restoration. Holy Spirit, would you search us? Would you know us? We believe, but help our unbelief. God, forgive us for not believing that you're bigger than our sin. And God, would you wash us tonight? We don't have the capacity to wash ourselves. Would you be gracious to wash us, to purge us, to take this sin from us? We do think of your sacrifice, Jesus, your broken body, your shed blood that provides forgiveness, provides power over sin. Would you create a clean heart within us and restore unto us the joy of our salvation? Would you be gracious to rebuild those walls of defense around our temple? Would you lift our heads during this time? In Jesus' name, amen. So like I mentioned, we've got time. So don't feel like you have to rush this. As you're ready, come and get of the elements. Go back to a quiet place in the sanctuary. Just do business with the Lord and allow the Lord to meet you and refresh you. So let's stand together and continue to wait upon the Lord. And as you're ready, come and receive communion. Thank you.
the King of love had given up his life. It was the darkest day in history. There on a cross they made for sinners. For every curse his blood atoned. And one final breath and it was finished. But not the end they could have known. For the earth began to shake. And the veil was torn. What sacrifice was made as the heavens rose. All hail King Jesus. All hail the Lord.
joy. I got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do, but all these songs must end. So I'll throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, I'm nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing. Just one move with my arms stretched wide, I will worship you, oh. And I'll throw up my hands and praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a
nothing.
singing hallelujah, hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Love that song. Jesus, we read in Luke, the last few verses of the Gospel of Luke, as Jesus is ascending, Luke says, "And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven." This is the ascension. The last thing Jesus did before going to heaven. It then says that everyone returned to Jerusalem with joy, worshiping God. What a beautiful scene, amen? Well, Jesus is the high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. That blessing that Jesus said was a blessing that his father commanded Moses to tell Aaron, that through the priesthood, this blessing needs to be spoken over the children of God. And so before we sing this last song, I want to pray this blessing over you. I want to ask that you stand up, and I want to ask that you raise your hands and close your eyes. And these familiar words, I pray, will just fall afresh on you. These are words written and shared in the Old Testament. How much more powerful are they now that Christ has died for us, cleansed us of our sins, risen to heaven, and is our high priest in heaven? Amen? So I'll lift one hand and hold the mic with the other. And I'm just praying this over you, church, and our community. Those of you at home, lift your hands just to say, "Father, I receive this blessing from you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." Amen.
Yes, we agree, we believe, amen. And your family, and your children, and their children, and their children. May His favor be upon you in 1,000 generations. And your family, and your children, and their children, and their children. May His favor be upon you in 1,000 generations. And your family, and your children. Children and their children, may His presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you, He is with you in the morning, in the evening, in your coming and your going, in your weeping and rejoicing. He is for you, He is for you. Receive this blessing from you, God, from your word, God, that we can declare it in song, God, that we can declare with instruments.
May we receive it. May we believe it, God. May we say amen, God. May it be true to us, God, that your presence goes before us, God. That when we come and when we go, God, that you are there with us, God. That you are working, that you are moving. God, and when we are rejoicing, you are with us. And when we are weeping, God, you are there with us still. God, no matter what we face, no matter what we have faced this week, no matter what we will face as we go from here, God, may we know that you are there with us, that you want to be with us. You're not just in this building here as we worship, God, but you are in our hearts, God. You are in our lives. You walk beside us. Everything that happens in our life, God, you don't miss any of it. None of it is wasted. It's for your glory, God. Thank you so much for your faithfulness to us, God. Thank you that you care to meet with us, God. Thank you for all you've done. We love you and worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. Thanks for coming out tonight.